Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! We are off and running. It is about 2 minutes past the hour on this, the 13th day of July 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump in amongst the madcap merriment, the zany multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Just head on over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump right in. And there you'll be in the midst of the company of Anatole and Devin and Hoghead, Jugapunch, Little Gray, Steve from Georgia, Stan, all and Trey, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Sparky being a third stage guild navigator exercising the better part of valor and not folding space to become man cave today. You will also be joined by longtime, somewhat fatigable, veteran, occasional chat room moderator, Texas Betsy. Good evening, one and all. Yes, it is indeed the 13th day of July. My apologies for my absence yesterday. It was necessary, however. These things must be attended to. Well, a subsidiary of Alpha Natural Resources, the bankrupt, scofflaw, outlaw coal company, wants to blow up some more of Coal River Mountain. And we were down there to politely inform them that we didn't want that to happen. And that really nobody wants it, except, say, you know, people on Wall Street, hedge fund managers, executives at Alpha, people who have no compunction against poisoning their neighbors and fellow West Virginians by, well, okay, right, yep, so that's where I was. I've got a lovely brochure, perhaps, to share with you later. It's all about blasting. Yes. Understanding blasting. I don't want to ruin it for you. Maybe we'll get to it later, but we got stuff to get to. We got stuff to get to here at the beginning of the program because yes, it's the 13th day of July 2016, and yes, the 13th day of July 2016 happens to fall upon, indeed, a Wednesday, and Wednesdays around here, well, you know, it's more than just the middle of the week, more than just hump day, more than just downhill to Friday. Oh no, brethren and sistren, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm pleased to announce to you that I am told by Brother Deacon Asa that we are 5x5 on his 1989 Ericsson Hotline brick phone from the server on high. Praise his holy name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we had a lovely meal down in the Fellowship Hall. It's still blackberry season here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Coal, Virginia, Stan. It's still blackberry season when it ain't raining. Mercy sakes, we had another downpour today. I was out in it, brethren and sisters, and it seemed a whole lot like the one that came down on the 24th day of June. Begun to make me a mite nervous. But it did clear up, and it did pass away, and the little old lady, the little old blue-haired ladies got out amongst the copperheads and the bears and harvested some more blackberries. No cobbler this time through. This time, there's always a big, big, big old tureen of ice-cold sweet tea there on the fellowship hall. A banqueting table for folks to drink with their meals, and this time the little old blue-haired ladies, they blew the doors out. My goodness gracious, they put a great big heap of them blueberries into the sweet iced tea, and what a flavor explosion that was! Amen, and amen. Little old blue-haired men helping out the little old blue-haired ladies fired up the grills, and this time we had apparently there was a big bargain on chicken leg and thigh quarters over to the Piggly Wiggly, and so they got put on the sanctuary smoker for a while, and then the little old blue-haired ladies put their special homemade blackberry barbecue glaze on that chicken. Oh my goodness gracious. And some corn, there was some space for corn on the cob on the grill. Oh, it was good, mighty good, mighty good. Big green salad, little jello salad along the way, some coleslaw. It was a wonderful fellowship dinner that we had this evening before we had to get things going. Dessert, oh mercy sakes, the dessert! You know the little old blue-haired ladies are not going to be outdone, and they decided to bake brownies. And when the little old blue-haired ladies bake brownies, they ain't using no bread Betty Crocker nor Duncan Hines box. They got more self-respect than that. No, they made them from scratch, and they was ooey and gooey, and they had pecans in them, and just little rivers of fudge running through them. Oh, mercy sakes alive, and some store-bought vanilla ice cream. Oh, my goodness gracious, it was wonderful. There wasn't a scrap of brownie left for them youngins. The deacons, I mean, it's like they changed their molecular structure and just made it disappear right out of the baking pans. Oh! But as quick as the brownies were gone, so too were the deacons trundling their bulk upstairs, where they went out to have their postprandial cigarettes with the sinners out in the parking lot. Yes, that's why just a scant 18 minutes ago, I sent Sister Carol Baker out with the cattle prod of holiness, and she goaded the deacons in through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, down the center aisle, and they waiting for me, and they brought me a little bit of news. Something happened, brethren and sistren. Something happened, because I am told that when the deacons walked up to begin collecting the collection plates to begin a passing around during the offertory hymn, brethren and sistren, why, there was a note in one and a note in another. In the first was a note from Brother Tony in Chico, who said, I'm a putting this here in the collecting plate to let folks know that I'll match the next $100 that comes in to help keep the Cathedral of Common Sense a-preaching the common sense on the interweb tubes. And lo and behold, it is also the birthday. It is the birthday of our dear friend and sister Darlene in Connecticut. And she, too, apparently put a note in another of the plates saying that she would match the first $100 that comes in on this here prayer meeting Wednesday, brethren and sistren. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Well, no, it ain't so much that God is good. It is that Tony and Darlene are good. And a very happy, happy birthday to Sister Darlene. Happy birthday indeed, and many, many happy returns on behalf not only of myself, but of the entire Horn family community congregation. Amen. Glory. So that is a blessing indeed, brethren and sisters, because we find ourselves at the beginning of this here prayer meeting Wednesday with a fundraising deficit of $391.86. It would have been more, save for the fact that our dear friend Chris in Germany couldn't stand for it to be a full $400 fundraising hole come Wednesday, and so Chris knocked it down to $391.86. And thank you very kindly to Chris. Thank you very, very much. And so if both challenges are met, Darlene's birthday challenge and Brother Tony's Chico challenge, if both challenges are met, brethren and sisters, we will have the fundraising gap closed for this here prayer meeting Wednesday, the 13th day of July, 2016. I'd hate to have to lock the doors after all of that, blackberry sweet tea down in the fellowship hall. I would hate to have to lock the doors, brethren and sisters. So we'll just pass the plates. That's what the deacons are good at. That's what they're there for. As well as Brother Deacon Gerald, he's there for other problems as well, and he is a name for being put upon, unfortunately. But they'll be passing the plates. I wouldn't want to lock the doors this evening, brethren and sisters, because you know blackberries are not simply, they're not just juicy and delicious. They can have other salutary effects that you don't want to experience with the doors of the sanctuary done been locked. All right, and Brother Deacon Gerald would especially like for you not to experience that. So we're gonna call the minister of music up, brethren and sisters. We're gonna call the minister of music up, and we're gonna have the offertory hymn, brethren and sisters. And the deacons are gonna pass the plate amongst you. With them two challenges right in there, your 5 becomes 10, your 10 becomes 20. 100 becomes 200. And dare I say it, 200 becomes 4. Because there's $200 worth of challenges not on the table, brethren and sisters, glory, but in the plate. Amen and amen. So, brother minister of music, step forward. Come on down here. Brother Minister of Music, if you'd lead us in the offertory prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed, except for the eye that you got to kind of keep cracked open a little bit to keep from getting cronked in the head with the big old heavy brass velvet lined offering plate. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you, wouldn't you? I love you. Oh, blessings upon you. Welcome, brethren and sister, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha! Glory. Amen and amen. I am calling upon you, brethren and sister, and calling to you. I am calling to you to get up out of your feet, out of your seats, onto your feet. Oh, many miracles are possible. You might yet get out of your feet, but come on out into that center aisle and come on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sister, and fall upon your knees at the altar. Laying your hands upon the subwoofer to feel the healing rays, ha, glory, flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. Amen. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sister, and I want to thank you very kindly. When the plates done come back, I found where Brother Deacon Asa had done doubled up $50 and turned it into $100, so there's $150 more of challenging offerings to be had this evening, brethren and sister, and $150 more. Amen and amen. Part of it, Tony's Chico challenge, and the other half of it being Darlene's birthday challenge. Let's all wish Darlene a happy birthday by meeting her challenge this evening. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Oh, brethren and sister, and I'm telling you that the devil is at work here in the world today. Ain't nowhere you can turn that old Scratch ain't been a working of his demonic presence. No, no. And what is the latest? Because we know, brethren and sister, and we know if we are followers of those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexuals over there to the True News and the American Family Association and whatnot. Brethren and sister, and we know that the whole culture is, well, it just belongs to Satan, don't it? It does. Amen, it does. Oh, gracious sakes alive. I'm a-telling you, I'm a-praising Jeebus. I'm a-praising Jeebus for Rick Wiles. Because Rick Wiles is out there warning us just like Kevin Swanson done did once upon a time. Remember when Kevin Swanson told us all about how that Elser in that freezer movie from the Disney, all about how it's about cold-hearted lesbians the animated lesbians that's trying to turn our cheerings all into lesbians and make a move to Beirut. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Help. Long and long ago it was in some of your memories. It's still there, though. When Reverend Brother Jerry Falwell told us, he warned us, he prophesied, glory, about the dangers, the sins, the open yawning mouth of hell that was presented by Tinky Winky and his purple purse and his Homer sectional triangle up there on top of his fuzzy little purple noggin. He did. He did. And, of course, there was SpongeBob SquarePants, whose best friend is a pink starfish. And if a pink starfish ain't gay, what in the world is, brethren and sister? And I ask you today, hallelujah, glory, amen. Well, brethren and sistren, in the last week or so, a new demonic presence has emerged upon the scene. And I'm a-telling you, Satan is just a-gathering souls with it, and he's a-gathering it through them demon phones that y'all carry around inside your pockets. Absolutely. I won't have nothing to do with them myself, because I don't want to get demons in my pocket. And that's all it is pocket demons. Pocket demons from start to finish, brethren and sistren. What am I talking about, brethren and sistren? I'm talking about Pokemon. Can I hear an amen? Pokemon. Can you say it? Pokemon. Don't say it three times, or one of them little critters is liable to show up right there in the pews with you. And 720 late teens and early 20-somethings and all the way up into millennials will be standing there with their phones pointing at you, trying to get the Pokemon that's sitting next to you there in the pews. Oh, brethren and sisters, it's always all over the place, these Pokemons. They just emerging and creeping and crawling and slithering and flying and farting right out of the cell phones and presenting a grave danger to this Christian nation. Amen and amen. You remember a while back, I think it was last Halloween, brethren and sistren. It was long about last Halloween when Brother Rick Wiles was warning us about the satanic dangers of that filthy holiday. Yes, brethren and sistren. Remember he was talking about his dog. What was his dog's name? Gizmo, Gonzo, Goober, who when he took him for a walk, would stand and bark at the blow-up spider in the Satan-infested neighbor's yard. Yes. Gator. That was the dog's name, Gator. No, nobody. He thought. Rick Wiles said he was barking at the demons in the blow-up spider. But brethren and sistren, we all know, those of us who speak Golden Retriever, he was saying, help me, spider, help me. Bite this crazy religious that's got me by the neck. Please, please help me. I got to go home with this guy. He's all the time praying and laying of hands and telling me speak. And oh, mercy. But anyway, but he told us about the demon-filled inflatable spiders there in his neighborhood. Rick Wiles did. And Rick Wiles has done heard about, yes, I know, brethren and sistren, he's done heard about the Pokemon. Oh, brethren and sistren, these are perilous times, I tell you, in which we live.
These Pokemon creatures are like virtual cyber demons.
Yes, digital demons.
Digital demons. Now, so this is where this starts to get weird. If it's not weird yet, it's going to get weird. So this morning, Doc and Edward and I are in an editorial meeting. We're talking about the topics for today's program. And Pokemon Go was one of the topics.
Right.
Now, this is before the police officer showed up.
Right.
We're talking about Pokemon Go.
Police
and
officer?
And Edward and Doc said, Rick, we're gonna present to you a really far-out idea about Pokemon Go. What if this technology is transferred to Islamic jihadists? And Islamic jihadists have an app.
Oh, my God. Islamic Pikachus. Islamic Pokemons. out there hollering aloha, aloha snack bar all over the country. Yeah, I know Brother Steve up in New York says going to get weird. We're already listening to the weird. The goddess of irony, she never takes her eyes off the likes of Rick Wiles. No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. But see, that's the thing. You peek at you, he's secretly your ISIS terrorist. Yeah, things going to get weird. Well, get the hockey puck out, brethren and sister, and you might be a needin' of it.
That shows them where Christians are located geographically.
Now, you may say, well, how is that possible?
We may say that. We may also say, this is not my beautiful home. This is not my beautiful wife. My God, how did I get here? But that's a different hymn, isn't it? Yes, it certainly is. What if? Oh, no. Pikachu snack bar! Uh-oh. You may be a Muslim now, Brother Usher Steve. You done said the magic word. Say it two more times. Well, never. Don't do it. Just don't do it. But what if there was an app that showed the ISIS where all the Christians was? What if there was such an app? Oh, my Jesus. It already exists. It's called the Google. It's called the Google Earth. And on the Google Earth is a place called the New United States of Merca. And the New United States of Merca is just chock-a-block with your Christians. Christians like Rick Wiles and his half-crazed golden retriever, Gator, that barks at the blow-up spiders, brethren and sistren. Oh, what if there was such an app? What if there was? Oh, mercy sakes. Well, tell us what would happen, Rick Wiles, if you can tear Gator away from... You know, if you're following Gator through the neighborhood to see what he does when he goes walkabout, is that a tail gator? I'm just asking.
Okay. But there's a reason why we ask that.
Yes.
Because the game itself reveals something, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So after the police officer told us that this man that we saw Friday on our property riding around our building holding his phone.
A grown man.
A 40-year-old man on a four-wheeler riding around our building suspiciously holding his phone up like he's photographing our building.
Yeah, they called the cops on him. They really did. A white guy on a four-wheeler holding his phone up, driving around the building there in Washington, D.C., where these weirdos hang out and have production meetings about Pokemon. They called the cops on him. Because the cops knew they didn't dare ignore a call from these loons because they'd raise a great big stink and holler that they were being persecuted because they were Christians, even if the cops themselves were Christians. Oh, dear God. This is Rick Wiles' brush with the ISIS. Somebody playing Pokemon Go done pointed a phone at him. And see Rick Wiles and Gator there. And Mrs. Rick Wiles and the cat and the fish and the bird, they all live in mortal terror that the ISIS is a-coming for them because they know the ISIS for what the ISIS are. You understand? Mm-hmm. Kind of pitiful, really, isn't it? I mean, there he is, one of the best worshipers of the almighty creator of the universe, the most powerful thing, being, whatever, in this or any other universe or all the universes, and he can't even protect Rick Wiles against a guy playing Pokemon Go. It's just sad, isn't it? It is.
Then the police officer comes back and tells us, look, I solved the case. He was playing Pokemon Go. Now, this is where, this is why in the office today, we all did a triple take looking at each other, because the theory that Doc and Edward presented to me this morning before the police officer came here was, what if we find out that Pokemon Go is primarily, the demons are primarily being located inside churches?
What if they're not demons? What if they're little computer-generated graphics critters that make tremendous amounts of money for the Nintendo Corporation? What if the Nintendo Corporation has made $7 million in a week on Pokemon Go? Hmm? What if there are Pokemons in Walmart and movie theaters? What if there are Pokemons in, you know, the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., which there are, because the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. has said, please, please, Nintendo, take your Pokemon out of our hallowed space reserved to the memory of people who were murdered by a brutal, conscienceless, bloodthirsty, fascist, racist regime. Please. And, you know, I got to thinking about that. I mean, that's a real story. People are playing, you know, they go to the Holocaust Museum, and then while they're waiting to get into the Helena Rubinstein Theater, which plays a documentary of survivors of the Holocaust who survived gassing. Well, lo and behold, apparently there's a Pokemon right there in front of the theater, and it's a Pokemon whose attack is to gas people. At least according to a posting online. Of course, you know, this is all just computer generated. I'm sure that was strictly random, entirely coincidental. Because, I mean, I'm sure there are no Pokemons hiding in Walmart that are emaciated and half-starved from working for slave labor wages or anything. No. I mean, surely to goodness, the Nintendo Corporation wouldn't be that callous. I mean, the Nintendo Corporation, just to make a buck, wouldn't put a, say, radiation-emitting Pokemon at the Ground Zero Memorial in, you know, Hiroshima, would they? For a dollar? Or 99 cents? I mean, capitalism isn't like that, is it? Oh, wait. Anyway, back to Rick Wiles.
Well, guess what? They downloaded an app in our office. We stood here and I watched them do it. They downloaded the Pokemon Go app. And lo and behold, there is the True News office. There's the outline of our building. There shows the, you see where would be exit doors, windows.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the True News building was a virtual cyber demon.
Not a Pokemon. A virtual cyber demon. Now, I'm not quite sure, and I am a long-time practitioner of the art of word knowing. Not quite sure how that parses out. Is it a virtual cyber demon? Or is it a virtual cyber demon? And if it's virtual and cyber, isn't there some redundance involved? I don't know. It seems to be lost on demon-obsessed Rick Wiles that it uses the camera on your phone, Pokemon Go. Nope. Nope, it's all just the magical machinations of the Prince of Darkness, because you know he's real. He lives every day in their fervid imaginations. As Brother Arthur pointed out, who knew Pikachu was at the bottom of that uncovered manhole or that dark alley at 3 a.m.? My friend Joy on Facebook pointed out that Pokemon Go is the ultimate manifestation of white privilege. How do we know? Because, see, for instance, the way we know that the guy on the four-wheeler, the 40-year-old grown man playing Pokemon outside the True News headquarters, and wouldn't you just love to see that Port-a-John, the True News headquarters, you know how we know he was white? Because he's still alive. Because, as Joy said, Pokemon Go is the ultimate manifestation of white privilege. Because if you had a lot of people of color running around, entering on private property, skulking around places in the dark and still of the night, things would be even worse for people of color in the United States than they already are. And there would be a murder a minute in the United States of America. One wonders if in the last week or so, Pokemon Go has been added to the talk, you know, the talk that that black parents have with their black children about, you know, how to interact with the world and the dangers that the world presents to them, specifically because they are of a dark skin tone. I would guess that somewhere along the way it probably has. Listen, I don't care how much fun it looks like, son. Don't you download Pokemon Go, because somebody will kill you for it. Well, I mean, he was black. Didn't I get to shoot him? What do you mean he was playing a game? What kind of game do those people play where they need to point their phones at my house? See? That's a good question, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa says, do the Muslims really need an app to find where Christians are? Can't they tell by the great big goddamned cross what they put atop their churches? Yeah, there's that. And then a reminder from the deacon chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, Brother Deacon Gerald. That's right, Brother Bob. These Homer sectionals are a-trying to ruin this great nation of ours. Brother Bob, we just have to stay the course and praise the Lord Almighty to deliver us from this evil plot. Yes, Brother Bob, we have to stand and tall and hold up that blood-stained banner of the Lord, knowing that the only true way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You do that way too well, Gerald. You do that way too well. Pokemon. Demons. Brother Usher Steve up in New York. This can't be real. This is the Onion News Network, right? No, this is real. You could tune into True News just any old day you want to, and they'll be sitting there just chatting away. I think we could rename it like, you know, Demon Talk.
And what this man Friday was trying to find was the Pokemon demon that had been placed inside the True News office.
Now you may say, okay, so you found one. But why is it significant about somebody else getting this information?
Well, because if this technology was in the hands of the wrong people,
right,
and you designated all the churches, mm-hmm. and you could even take it so far as the homes of the pastors, the elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers.
Right.
What about the little old blue-haired ladies that work in the fellowship hall kitchen? Not them!
Youth pastors, you could.
No. The youth pastors, it would seem, have given out enough their addresses all by themselves on more than a number of occasions, and I think we've got the prayer meeting Wednesday stories to back up that assertion.
You could have a phone with an app that would lead you to the physical locations of these strong Christian leaders.
And what we found was startling about where these Pokemon congregate.
So Edward and another employee jumped in their vehicle.
Wait, they congregate, the Pokemon do? They congregate. They form a congregation. They sing hymns. They pass the plate. Yeah. Okay. Jack in Shreveport. Pointing out, well, there are, you know, there are demons. Actually, daimon, D-A-E-M-O-N. A daimon is a long-running background process that answers requests for services. The term originated with Unix, but most operating systems use daimons in some form or another. In Unix, the names of daimons conventionally end in D. Some examples include initd, httpd, nfsd, sshd, NAMED and LPD. And, of course, the word daimon is itself the root word of demon, and it's Greek, and it refers to like an animating spirit. But these are not, those are not the computer demons they're looking for. Oh, my God.
Took off. I said, go check it out in Vero Beach. Edward, you were gone for a couple hours. Tell us what you found. This is Vero Beach today. What did you find?
Well, we found the churches in our area were all portals. They were points, rally points, where you could go put down a bot bait, or basically this is where you can go to find and capture these demons. It's on the app. The app will lead you to that church.
When you drive around Vero Beach,
does it lead you to the, like, basement men's room with the holes drilled out in the sides of the stall walls? I mean, yeah. Because as Jugapunch points out in the chat room, Google Church works. They publish their addresses and phone numbers in the weekly. And I remember, I remind you, as I note again, that there's $150 worth of challenges remaining on the table, that these people have a budget that is measured by millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And they spend it, and, you know, they get it from philanthropic Republicans and the like, and they spend it by trying to convince people who live in the 21st century that they're not even Bronze Age, they're late Stone Age, maybe early Stone Age superstitions are more real than the real world that we can quantify, that we can measure, that we can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, feel. And you can You can put down bait for the Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I would think this would not come as a surprise to the folks at True News, given the number of Christians who put down bait for, you know, little children that they would like to. They understand hunting over a baited field. It's like the old joke. The punchline is of which is Snickers and a Coke. You probably know it. If you don't, look it up. I'm sure it's online somewhere.
Beach, Florida, with your Pokemon Go app open, are you telling me that the cyber demons that have been placed by this game in Vero Beach, that they are primarily located in Vero Beach churches?
Yes. The ones I found were in churches, hospitals or medical facilities, and malls.
Hospitals, shopping malls, and churches.
Wow, what do they have in common? Gosh, they're all structures! No, I'm sure it's something more nefarious than that.
Right.
And we weren't the only ones to find this. The original tip we got was that 70% of the actual locations where these rally points are located are churches. There's actually a big joke going right now on these tech forums of mostly secular atheists, folks that are into this kind of thing, and they're joking. Well, look, the app is bringing people to church.
Okay, I see two things here. Number one, the enemy, Satan, is targeting churches with virtual digital cyber demons.
See, that only works, though, Rick. Can I call you Rick? Do other people call you Dick? I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that they don't. I mean, it just is.
You dick!
Yeah. They're only targeting churches if they're making the grave mistake of thinking that Walmarts are churches, and malls are churches, and hospitals are churches, and anything with four walls and a roof, or any open space. I mean, because see, it's just a computer program, and it generates Pokemons, and you got to get them all, right? Yep. So I would say Satan is not very good at targeting churches, wouldn't you?
Now, you might say, well, it's a make-believe object.
Well, it's believable enough to got a 40-year-old man on a four-wheeler driving around looking for one.
And the irony is completely lost on these clowns that they are proponents of a religion that has 90-year-old people running to the same place every Sunday, muttering the same words, eating the same bland cracker, thinking that it's going to provide them some sort of magic spiritual protection against the elements of the universe and prevent them from really dying when they're dead. They're not going to really be dead. They're just going to go and be alive somewhere else. There's no irony at all there. None whatsoever.
And most likely he would have come in this building had a door opened up. See, we've talked to locations where people have gone into churches looking for these demons.
Yes. Yeah.
They're going into the churches looking for this Pokemon cyber demons.
And in case you guys are thinking we're just making this up, there are articles in mainstream media that say that churches are rallying points for Pokemon Go.
Because they're big buildings that are easy to find, as was previously noted. They put a great big cross on them. I mean, it's like, you know, here. But it can't be that. It has to be that these clowns are being persecuted. Right. Of course. Of course it does. Under the subject line, urethra, I have found it. Brother Usher Steve sends in a photograph. First Church of Pokemon Reformed. Download their message bulletin board. Download Pokemon Go. Find them Christians. I mean, Now this is no small clip. That's 6 minutes worth of clip there. And they weren't done.
At what point does this game go live and the Pokemon masters are telling people to kill people in those buildings?
You know when that happens? When the corporation that is known as Nintendo decides that it is no longer interested in following its corporate charter, which includes making horse-gagging loads of money. That's when, Rick Wiles, that's when. They're going to tell people to start killing each other, you know, when they've grown tired of just stunning amounts of profit. $7 million in a week. That ain't bad for an app. And then, of course, people are also going to have to cooperate with the commands. But since Rick Wiles is convinced that they're demon-possessed, and you know, God, I wonder if his neighbor with the blow-up spider is playing Pokemon Go. But that, you know, that's when.
So they can capture their Pokemon and be the masters.
I mean, people are losing touch with reality. This woman last week with the shooting, the police shooting, where her boyfriend was shot, and she's Facebook streaming it live.
Yes.
Doc, that was so weird.
Wait, what? He Did he just allege that Diamond Reynolds was, that there was some connection between Pokemon Go and Diamond Reynolds streaming the aftermath of the murder of her fiancé? Because, yeah, he did. Well, you know, they're Christians. They find demons floating in their Cheerios bowl, and they play play Ouija with the alphabets floating in the milk, and what?
So they can capture their Pokemon and be the masters.
I mean, people are losing touch with reality. This woman last week with the shooting, the police shooting, where her boyfriend was shot, and she's Facebook streaming it live.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he did that. I just had to double check. One, she did not stream the shooting live. She documented the aftermath so that there would be actual physical, so that there would be real evidence of what had been done. And it was done not because she had lost touch with reality. It was done because Diamond Reynolds was desperate to make sure that people knew what was happening to her and had happened to her beloved fiancé. It wasn't Pokemon. It wasn't a game at all. But in the white privileged mind of this practitioner, this high practitioner of Christian hatred, it's the same thing.
Fuck, that was so weird.
Yeah.
By the way, you'll notice he said, you know, when he got shot. No, Rick Wiles. He didn't get shot. He got killed. That's so weird. It's weird that she would want to put evidence out to the world of what had just happened in her life. What had just happened to shatter her existence. And take the very existence from the man that she loved. That's so weird. And we wonder why Bob's not a Christian.
Just the beginning of what we're going to be seeing.
The only thing I could think of when I heard that she went on Facebook and did a live stream of the police shooting of her boyfriend, I thought, okay, either this is staged or she has no concept of reality.
Those are the first two things that entered the white privileged mind of Rick Wiles, that she was making it all up, that was fake blood all over the white T-shirt of Philando Castile, that she was staging it. That he was faking the last death rattling gurgles as he declined into death in the seat of that automobile. See, this here is what you call proof of the failure of Christianity. In Rick Wiles' Christian world, I guess Philando Castile and Diamond Reynolds and their precious 4-year-old little daughter were, you know, something less than human, with something less than human feelings. Perhaps insane because Diamond Reynolds didn't just sit there and say, "Well, officer, yeah, you shot my fiance. I suppose you had a very good reason for doing it," you know, all while the officer runs around screaming, you know, the F-bomb.
Which one is it? Both of them are weird and frightening.
And we're not, this isn't just conjecture. If you go back to 2012, Time Magazine did an interview with the founder of Pokemon, this game, what it's based on. The founder's name is Satoshi Tajiri. What he said in this interview is that the game Pokemon is geared toward anti-Christian, anti religion, Satanism. This is what he said in the interview. He said he...
Yeah, see, I'm disinclined to believe that because these Christian liars are saying it's true. Michael in Madison with a little bit of a correction. Nintendo's profits from Pokemon Go are said to be modest so far, some unknown portion of approximately $14 million. However, as of 2 days ago, Nintendo's market share was up by $7.5 billion due to the game. But can these Christians talk about capitalism?
No.
They love capitalism. What they do is they wind up, because you heard them just now do it, they wind up equating Pokemon Go with the heartbreaking slaughter of an innocent young black man. My, what exemplars of the love that passeth all understanding, the saving grace of Christ Jesus, these men are.
He grew up, his parents were Christian, and he rebelled against it. And he made this game as a revolt against everything Christianity stands for.
And so his company is deliberately placing cyber demons in churches.
Or the game he created.
The game that he created.
Right. It's a separate company that created this, right. Pokemon Go app. But yes, the game he founded. The genre he founded, the Pokemon.
And we personally experienced the effects of this game last Friday with a stranger showing up on our property on a four-wheeler, riding around, taking photographs, looking for a Pokemon demon inside our building.
Meanwhile,
I mean,
there are police getting shot in Dallas. There's war breaking out in the Middle East. North Korea is going to go to war with us. But we're hypnotized. We're sucked into this stupid virtual reality world. We'd rather live in a virtual world than live in the real world.
I don't know. What do you say we ask some people still trying to live in places like Aleppo, Syria, whether they would prefer a virtual world or the real world? I mean, if there was some way to sort of upload their consciousness into virtual, which would they prefer? Because I'm pretty sure I know the answer. Thomas, writing, "That's so weird." That's so weird, you know, what the guy said. I love it when these Jesus jerks take something that is in reality and is in popular culture and they have to then twist it into religion, which is void of anything factual or reality-based. On a regular basis, these people, and I use that word as loosely as their brain matter, think that people who go through horrible atrocities have no basis in reality, when these fucktards wouldn't know reality if Pokemon Go found it for them.
Pastor Rick, we're going to have a wake-up call, Doc. There's a wake-up call coming.
Yeah, most of them are not going to be virtual.
Hey, most of them aren't even going to know that the wake-up call came because they're just going to be vaporized by a nuclear blast.
Or live streaming it.
You know, there might be value to live streaming a nuclear blast. Because, you know, that was just silly. What Diamond Reynolds did. That was just silly. I mean, she was just lost in her virtual world when she live streamed the death of her beloved fiance. Ah, Christians. Aren't they wonderful?
I'm going to let Edward close the program with a scripture.
Oh boy, get the hockey puck. And El Snabbanab did come down to them from on high, saying, Worship thou not the Pokemon demons, for they are offensive in the nostrils of Almighty God, who loves you so much he will kill you for playing the game. Oh, yeah, right.
Based off of what we just covered and talked about it, what comes to my mind is chapter 4, the book of Philippians, verses 8 through 18. Finally, brethren, what...
Oh, quick timeout. Texas Betsy just went on a research mission. Looking at bio info on Time Magazine, no mention of religion at all in bios of the founder of either Pokemon or Pokemon Go. No mention of religion at all. How about that? The Christians are lying some more. Imagine that. Why, that's crazy! No, they are.
Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
I think today the apostle would add an extra word.
And that word would be? No.
Do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
I think today the apostle would add an extra word. Whatsoever is real. Think upon these things.
Yes.
We got people who are thinking upon things that are not real.
Now, damn it, this clown can't have it both ways. Either his demons are real or they aren't real. If they aren't, and they're not. They're not real. They're not. They're no more real than his God is or his Jesus is. They're no more real than his prayers are. Or the demons that Gator the dog barks at in the blow-up spider every Halloween. I wonder if his neighbors go, oh, shit, it's Halloween again. We're going to have to put up with Rick Wiles bitching about our yard demons. Don't you know he is just an absolute delight at the neighborhood association meeting? But that seemed a fitting place to begin prayer meeting Wednesday this evening. Because it leads into, okay, so that's what they're worried about. Here's what the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, homosexual Christians aren't worried about. They are not worried about John Lindbergh Ellard Martin. Neither are they worried about Jeffrey Allen Elkins. John Lindbergh Ellard Martin was brought in as the adult to work in the adult education department at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Madison County, Alabama. And Jeffrey Allen Elkins was pastor of the Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ in Bridgeport, Alabama. Well, John Lindbergh Ellard Martin of St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Madison County, Alabama, has been busted for using computers at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church and at home to procure and disseminate images and videos depicting the sexual exploitation of minor children. This is of no concern whatsoever to Rick Wiles of True News, who is instead worried about a guy pointing a cell phone at the True News headquarters, whatever bizarre port-a-john that is, while ensconced aboard a four-wheeler. Right. Meanwhile, they're circling the wagons at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Madison County, Alabama, with Pastor Phil O'Kennedy saying, since John Martin came to work for us at St. John's in our adult education department, we've seen nothing that would lead us to believe the charges being made against him. We are stunned by the accusations. Of course we will continue to work with the authorities. We encourage any parishioner who may have any information about the accusation to come forward, and we will continue to pray for Mr. Martin and his family. Thoughts and prayers for Mr. Martin and his family from St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Madison County, Alabama, Pastor Phil O'Kennedy, who did not offer any thoughts and prayers for the exploited children in the kiddie porn that John Lindbergh Ellard Martin has been accused of procuring and disseminating. But the church is fully cooperating, of course, because they had no way of knowing. They had no knowledge. He certainly gave no signs. I mean, goodness gracious, how could they be expected to know something like that? This is all by way of setting up the legal defense, mind you, because they are not going to pray away their legal problems. They're going to lawyer up, baby, because, well, faith in God goes only so far. And then, over to the Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ in Bridgeport, there is, after all, Pastor Brother Minister Jeffrey Allen Elkins, 55 years old, Jackson County, Alabama, just a stone's throw away from Madison County, Alabama, there in northeast Alabama. Pastor Brother Minister Jeffrey Allen Elkins has been indicted by the grand jury of Jackson County, Alabama, on charges that include rape, attempted rape, and first-degree sodomy. He was arrested in March on charges of child sexual abuse. The church is stunned. And I'll tell you that there are photographs of both men that attend this article. There is absolutely nothing about those photographs that suggests child sexual predator, except for the fact that maybe both photographs make you go, oh my God, I would never let a child be within 10 statute miles of either one of those men. Uh-huh. Yeah. Also, by the way, a trip out to Kansas, Stan. Had a note earlier today from our dear friend, the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan. A new law has gone in effect in Kansas, Stan. Approved as of yesterday, July the 12th, 2016. Diane writes, this is a tiered voting system designed to create confusion at the polls. It sidesteps a recent circuit court ruling, and the part about provisional ballots is simply an obvious deception. All this was accomplished by our Secretary of State, Chris Kobach, on the last day for him to comply with the federal ruling before the primary. The political criminal class strikes again. This was the solution to a non-problem. The 17,000 Kansans affected are mostly young, I think. The political criminals should be afraid of the young. Many of them have not been turned into waxy Republican Christian robots. And so, as punishment, they must be disenfranchised. They can get a motor vehicle license in Kansas, but not the right to vote in Kansas elections. Meanwhile, it's worth noting, as Diane does, that Ann Coulter and other nuts are calling for Chris Kobach to be Trump's vice presidential nominee. Well, then there's this. The Westside Family Church is a Southern Baptist church, and they hired an individual named Kessler Lichtenegger to work for them. Now, the Kessler Lichtenegger, okay, I said hired. They didn't hire him. He was a volunteer, aren't they all? A volunteer during vacation Bible school. You got to use that accent. And in Kessler Lichtenegger's capacity as vacation Bible school volunteer at the Westside Family Church, he made advances. Isn't that an interesting euphemism? He had sexual contact with two girls, both of whom were under the age of 14 years. Mm-hmm. The parents of the two girls have sued the church over what Kessler Lichtenegger did to their daughters. Meanwhile, remember how I said over there, they're lawyering up in Alabama? Well, they lawyered up in Kansas. They have denied knowledge of the previous juvenile convictions of Kessler Lichtenegger. Mm-hmm. Because, the allegation in the lawsuit is that the church damned well did know about his extensive past sexual conduct and crimes involving children. According to the lawsuit, the church officials ignored their own doctrines and their own procedures by allowing Kessler Lichtenegger to be around children outside of Kessler Lichtenegger's father's supervision. How is the church responding? Humbly, as followers of Christ might? No, hell no. They filed a motion in the court demanding that the parents and the children publicly identify themselves before the lawsuit can go forward. The church is aggrieved, the Southern Baptist Church. They say that they've been subjected to, quote, a Pearl Harbor-styled barrage of negative publicity. While the defendant admits the sensitivity of the allegations, plaintiffs tactically decided to draw first blood on the issue publicly. In time, that may ultimately be seen in hindsight to be a bad decision. However, they should not be able to hide behind pseudonyms after systematically and intentionally initiating a campaign specifically designed to damage defendant's reputation. Because, see, it wasn't the kiddie rape that damaged the defendant's Christian reputation. It wasn't the child sexual abuse. It was talking about the child sexual abuse that damaged their reputation. Meanwhile, David Clohesse, director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says, this has happened in a relatively small number of cases involving adults, but I've never seen a defendant try to out kids who are still kids in a child sex case. But he also knows what the purpose of the tactic is. It will also rub more salt into the already deep and still fresh wounds of this suffering family. It's a shameful move by officials who profess to be Christians. And by doing this, they try to suppress other people from coming forward when their children have been raped in the name of Christ Jesus. Why do they think Kessler Lichtenegger, why do they think the church should have known? Well, see, he's doing 17 years just for what he did at Westside Family Church's Vacation Bible School. But back in 2012, he also pleaded guilty to sexual assault of a 15-year-old girl who had developmental problems. He also pleaded guilty to another sexual felony. So, you know, he kind of had a history. what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would lawyer up. I mean, it's right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The centurions show up and he says, wait a minute, I'm not saying a word till my lawyer's here. I ain't talking to nobody without my mouthpiece. And so he took a good 15 lawyers with him when he had his trial before Pontius Pilate. And that's why the trial took several weeks. Oddly enough, none of that happened. Maybe none of it happened anyway, but that's not the story as it's told. Who would Jesus lawyer up? And then this. This story, of course, comes out of Florida. Mary Esther is not a person. Mary Esther is a little town in Florida on the coast. Just a sleepy little hamlet. Not a lot of anything particularly exciting happens in Mary Esther. Well, that is up until Monday, July the 11th. That's when a woman ran a stop sign in Mary Esther and crashed right into somebody's front yard. Police came. They got there before she could back out of the yard because she was all mired up in the sand, a lot of sand in Florida. And they wrote her a ticket for reckless driving. Then they took her to the local hospital. Apparently she's going to be okay. But when the cops asked her how it came to happen, she said that she had just taken her eyes off the road because she had to close her eyes to pray while she was driving. Yeah, somehow or another, I like to think that if Jesus is really up there paying attention, hey, Jesus, could you convince your followers that they don't have to pray, close their eyes when they pray all the time, that they can pray with their eyes open? Nope, sorry. Got to close your eyes if you want to pray while you're driving. And, you know, let Jesus handle the rest of it. By the way, Mary Esther is, I guess, in the northwest part of the state. Okaloosa County. Otherwise known as Lower Alabama. Yeah. So it's 18 minutes past the hour. Here endeth the lesson for this here prayer meeting Wednesday. There's $150 worth of matching challenges still on the table. Brother Deacon Asa filled up $50 worth of that. That leaves $50 left in Tony's Chico Challenge. And then there's a $100 challenge in celebration of our dear friend and longtime member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, Darlene in Connecticut. It's her birthday. And in Hobbit fashion, she decided to celebrate her birthday by putting $100 on the table to help with the bill paying here at the Horn. In other words, she's going to turn your 1 into 2, your 5 into 10, your 10 to 20, your 25, 50. She'll turn your 100 into 200, however you choose to do it. So hopefully that will happen. It's a real pity to see challenges like this go by the boards. I hope it won't. All right, break time. You know the numbers, right? 304-663-4676, 304-663-4676. 663-HORN. That's the stress line named in memory of the irrepressible and unreplaceable Bill Mr. Stress Miller. And then, of course, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. That's why we call it Conversation Radio. It's all about the conversation. We'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air.
Myself for that one. Jesus Take the Wheel, Carrie Underwood. Going out to the lady in Mary Esther, Florida, who has to close her eyes while she's driving, while she prays. Let's see. Let's check out a little bit of mail real quick. yeah, that wasn't lost on brother Usher Steve either in New York. The Pokemon demon people are saying someone else is making shit up? Yeah, I know. Robert in Australia. Hey, Bob. Hey, Robert. Pokemon comes from Japan. Fewer than 1% of Japanese are Christian. Make of that what you will. And yes, these creeps will jump on any bandwagon to exploit their followers. Remember He-Man and the Masters of the Universe? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. When the film came out with attached toy range, we had some religious fundamentalists from the USA pop up on Australian TV complaining that it promoted demons and that Jesus was the true master of the universe, blah, blah, blah. And then he showed his toy range of biblical figures. Money, money, money. It's all about the money. Notes Robert. Well, yes, and it's all tax-free, right? Right. A little confusion for Michael and Madison. Pokemongo. Pokemongo. See, Bob, writes Michael, it never occurred to me that Pokemon Go was a tool used by Satan so that Islamic jihadists could more easily kill Christians. But it does make a lot more sense than my original theory. See, I saw the hashtag, hashtag Pokemongo, all over my internets and thought that everyone was playing some new Blazing Saddles-themed augmented reality game called Pokemongo, in which players had to, deliver exploding candy grams. After all, Mongo only pawn in game of life. Where are all the white women at? Gotta catch them all. Signed, Michael. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Poke Mongo. Mm-hmm. Candygram for Mongo. Marty remembers He-Man. And then there's He-Man's line, I am the power, which was changed in the movie Masters of the Universe to I have the power. Yeah, oh, well. Yeah, oh, well, indeed. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and you know, there's other news out there besides churchy stuff. But I try to put all the churchy stuff in one place just so we can get it out of the way. And people, the Horn Family Community Congregation seems to like it that way. Hey, let's check in with Robert Jeffress, who is pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. I think it's safe to say he's a cult leader. Oh, damn, Danny, I'm sorry. Danny in Louisiana, Stan, subject line, that song. You had to play that? I want you to know, I now have driven ice picks in both ears. God damn, that song works my last effing nerve. Hey, watch it, Danny, or I'll play She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy, okay? Don't push me! Hey, back to Bob Jeffress in Dallas. There are 12,000 suckers, I mean congregants, at the First Baptist Church in Dallas. And Jeffress knows how to handle fascism. In other words, get on the right side of it early. So he's a big supporter of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Mm-hmm. Now, early on, he was admittedly a Ben Carson supporter, but he saw the light pretty quick. He saw the writing on the wall, to use a reference to his holy book. You know why we need T. Rump to be president? I'm not just playing this for the hell of it, because yesterday Bernie formally endorsed Hillary Clinton, to the manifest disgust of a surprising number of people who apparently have no freaking clue how politics works in the United States of America. I saw Bernie suddenly being referred to as a sellout. Bernie, how could you? You broke my heart. I mean, even the gang in the tank over at the New York Times had a story about it. You broke my heart and betrayed the left, Senator Sanders. The New York Times is down to quoting Facebook posts now. Wrote Cesar Augusto Diaz, a Sanders supporter from New York. Daniel Whitfield of Discovery Bay, California, insisted that the political revolution Mr. Sanders had championed did not have to end just because the senator had given up. However, he said that voting for Mrs. Clinton was not an option. Intelligent Bernie supporters will never support her because she stands for everything we're fighting against. Just because Bernie has left our movement does not mean it's over. Bernie started your movement! And then there was the typical posts from Jill Stein somewhere out in the weeds, and Gary Johnson somewhere out in the even weedier weeds. Jessica Watrous Boyer of Westerly, Rhode Island, went to Bernie's Facebook page and said, "You chose her over us. Truly shocked and saddened by this." Really? You are? Are you also truly shocked and saddened when you pay your quarter at the sign that says "This way to the egress" and you find yourself outside the circus? Are you? I'm shocked and saddened. I mean, shocked and saddened that Bernie Sanders did exactly what he said he would do if he did not win. See, that's the part. He did, because he said he would support Senator Clinton, well, Dr. First Lady Secretary Senator Clinton, Senator Secretary Clinton. He said he would support her if he didn't win. And so he's doing what he said he would do. But there's a whole bunch of people out there who just, you know, apparently don't get it. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe Jill Stein will get enough votes that we'll get to have President T. Rump, because it's getting closer. It is getting terrifyingly closer. Oh, yes. What do I mean? Well, I mean, like, she and T. Rump are in a dead heat in Ohio. They're in a dead heat in Pennsylvania. They're not in a dead heat in Alabama, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas. Trump's got that. West by Cole, Virginia, Trump's got that. Kentucky, Trump's got that. South Carolina, Trump's got that. She's trailing him in Florida, Ha!
Can't believe he chose her over us. I can't believe he doesn't want Trump to be president. I want a pony.
Well, don't you worry. Bob Jeffers down at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, he knows the score, even if the I Want a Pony bunch don't.
But let's go back, Pete, to your point to Pastor Jeffers, that your criticism that, Pastor, you shouldn't have been supportive of Trump during the primary process. That seems to be a problem for Pete on this score.
Let me say two things about what Pete has said. First of all, I did enthusiastically support him from the beginning because I believed he was the only one who was electable and could beat Hillary Clinton. And I think when we talk about selecting a candidate, I do think electability is one thing that you have to take in mind. And I think our country has moved so far to the left that somebody like Ted Cruz, who, by the way, is a friend of mine who has spoken to my church, I just didn't think Ted Cruz was electable. So,
time out. This country's moved so far to the left. Oh, my God, we're all out there on the barricades, tearing down the barriers of capitalism, workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. The chains are off, and we're rattling them like Jacob freaking Marley, and the country's moved so far to the left. What Robert Jeffers means by that is that donations are down there over at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, and he's actually having to fly first class instead of just, he's still got the Gulfstream 5. Who am I kidding?
I think that's the reason that I supported him. But as far as his worldview, Trump's worldview, I was debating an evangelical professor on NPR, and this professor said, Pastor, don't you want a candidate who embodies the teaching of Jesus and would govern this country according to the principles found in the Sermon on the Mount? I said, heck no. I would run from that candidate as far as possible, because the Sermon on the Mount was not given as a governing principle for this nation.
No, that's the book of Leviticus. That's the Ten Commandments that were given as a governing document for this nation. The part where you get to stone disobedient children and murder people for eating shrimp scampi. That's a governing principle. We don't need that socialist Jesus out there talking about the poor inheriting in the earth and blessed be the peacemakers. That's not a blueprint for governing. That's a bunch of sissy left-wing malarkey that somehow snuck into our good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual New Testament. That's what that is.
Nowhere is government told to forgive those who wrong it. Nowhere is government commanded to turn the other cheek. Government is to be a strong man to protect its citizens against evildoers.
Pete, when I'm
looking for somebody who's going to deal with ISIS and exterminate ISIS, I don't care about that candidate's tone or vocabulary. I want the meanest, toughest son of a you-know-what I can find.
Okay.
Oh, it's okay, Bob. You can say bitch. It's the internet. Son of a you-know-what? The follower of Jesus just said he wants him some people slaughtered real Christian-like. Part two of We Wonder, and somehow some people still wonder why I refuse to be a Christian. I have no interest whatsoever in going to heaven with this guy, because he's going to want somebody to kill me again. I don't care if he's got eternal life. Kill him some. Nail some sense into him. Nail him up, I say. He wants a strong man. Because, well, because why? Because the goddess of irony loves to make Baptist ministers say they want a strong man. Maybe a he-man, maybe a mess. Wait a minute. Master of the universe! Yeah, maybe, yeah. So, but that's okay, because I can't believe he let us down. That's okay. The evangelical Christians know how to vote. They know how elections work. Yeah, they'll prove it to you too. There's millions of them. Yeah, you just go right ahead. Have a blast. I mean, seriously, like I've told Jim in Louisiana Stan before, you want to vote for Jill Stein in Louisiana, have at it. Have a blast. But in places like Ohio, Pennsylvania, states that matter, it's a different story altogether. And again, I'll note that it's going to be such a stomping here in West Virginia that voting for Hillary Clinton will constitute a radical act. I mean, I bet you're going to vote for that Hillary, ain't you damn liberal? Me? Okay. Enough of that. Let's take a moment for just a little bit of creepy fun. Yeah, that's right. Brother Deacon Gerald pointing out, our country has moved so far to the left, it's turned completely right. It's a circle. The circle of life. No more singing, Bob. I'm sorry, Jenny. Jenny said, I like that song. I used that time to restart my browser. It was running slow. And I'm on level 3 of demon hunting. You get 'em, demon hunter, you. Thanks, Jenny. It's been a while since we had a hate-fil-A story, a Chick-fil-A story. Oh, good news. Thank you very kindly to Betsy, saying happy Darlene's birthday. So Betsy has met $20 of Darlene's birthday challenge. And so of the two challenges on the table now, we have $130 to go. Thank you very, very kindly, Betsy. 130, 13 at 10, 10 at 13, 1 at 130, etc., etc. And about an hour and 20 minutes to finish it up in. Now, it's been a while since we had a hateful A story. Yesterday was apparently, and I let it slip right past me, don't know how, yesterday was Cow Appreciation Day Tuesday at Hateful A. And the way it worked, Cow Appreciation Day Tuesday, the way Cow Appreciation Day worked was that you got some free chicken if you dressed like a cow and came to Chick-fil-A. They were sort of bogarting off of the Chipotle gig, where anybody who wraps themselves in foil on Halloween gets a free burrito at Chipotle. So guess who dressed up like a cow? Oh, really? It's the only place he can. It's the only way he can show up in public. Child sexual abuser Josh Duggar. Showed up with lots of other Duggars dressed in a cow suit. No, really. Dressed up like a cow to get free chicken at Chick-fil-A. Last year, the Duggar family didn't let their little child sexual abuser in on their Chick-fil-A love, but I guess maybe Jesus will forgive anything, including incestuous child sexual abuse, or including being married and using the cheating site Ashley Madison to find you some hookup. At the same time that you're going around Washington, D.C. talking about family values marriage and attacking two guys who want to get married or two women who want to get married as, quote, an attack on the family. Yeah, just a little giggle there. Josh Duggar, look. If you're anywhere with your children and there's somebody wandering around in a cow suit, go the other direction. It might be Josh Duggar. And, you know, where Josh Duggar's concerned, there's no such thing as too young. God almighty. And this, by the way, since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, just to round out the second hour. Oh, thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Mark in Florida. The matching challenges are now down to $103. $103 to go. Thank you very, very kindly indeed, Mark. It is very helpful. We can do that in an hour and 45 minutes, can't we? $103. 10 at $10.30. Yeah. Have I got the math right? So, you know, New England is dotted with crusty, hoity-toity old private boarding schools that are basically preparatory academies for the Ivy League. Your Harvards, your Yales, and, you know, some Williamses and Amhersts and things like that along the way, Bowdoin. One of those is Phillips Exeter Academy. You know, they're not overtly religious the way that some, like, other more southern-type private schools are. I mean, this place is expensive, Phillips Exeter is. A 17-year-old female student athlete, or student, just a student, reported to the school, to her advisor, last October. And then, because of the report to the advisor, met with A.J. Cosgrove, who was the Dean of Residential Life at Phillips Exeter, as well as Melissa Mischke, Dean of Students. That a star athlete there at Phillips Exeter, a guy by the name of Chukwudi Ikpeazu had reached under her clothing and groped her breasts and her buttocks without her consent, the story out of the Boston Globe. One would think this would set off something in the way of accountability at a place as highfalutin as Phillips Exeter Academy. Not so much. The young woman only went to her advisor after a friend of hers said that the guy had done the same thing to her down in the basement of the Phillips Church. I mean, there is still a church on campus. There's a, you know, church type affiliation there. Describing what she experienced, the young woman, whose name has been published, but I see no need to repeat it, said, "I was so ashamed of it. I was being reminded once a week that he assaulted me. Why? Because Phillips Exeter Academy did nothing, or next to nothing, or possibly less than nothing." What? This past December, she met with Reverend Robert Thompson, the minister at the school, who's been in place for nearly 30 years, and also had to meet with the guy who groped her. At which point the minister looked at her and said, "Well, what do you want from him?" And she joked about the guy made some sort of bread that, and okay. So that was his penance. He groped her, and the school compelled her to accept an act of penance in the form of cinnamon bread that he baked. Because, you know, that makes the that makes the rape, the sexual abusey stuff just all go away. Among other things, Phillips Exeter Academy made both people, the woman who had been groped and the guy who groped her, sign a no-contact order and said, you know, if you violate this, we'll expel you. I don't think there was much fear of the young woman violating it. Why would she have to sign off on it anyway? Well, you know, how was she dressed? Damn. But the young man's gone. He skipped graduation, but he's graduated. And he will be arraigned on a charge of misdemeanor sexual assault. But plans at present are for him to attend the University of Pennsylvania. Because justice. Religious persecution is alive and well in America on this prayer meeting Wednesday, the 13th day of July, 2016. Mm-hmm. How do we know? Because ammonium nitrate Bundy and his baby brother Ryan say so. They're complaining while they are in the stir in advance of trial that they're not being allowed to wear their special Mormon underwear. No, really, the double secret probation magic underwear. The Mormons call it magic underwear. I mean, that's their euphemism for it. Yeah, well. I guess they'll probably be given that under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act or some dumbass right. The latest coming out of the county jail there in Multnomah County is that they're not going to be in the Multnomah County jail. They're being moved downtown to the Portland jail so they can coordinate their defenses together. And because they're special and are just glowing in the dark with their white privilege, they're being heard to complain that their privacy rights are being violated. Ryan Bundy says, I believe I'm being impeded and violated at every turn. I have not committed any crime, Your Honor. I'm not guilty, yet we're being treated as though we are guilty. Because, well, invading a federal bird sanctuary and holding it for weeks on end at gunpoint, how could that possibly be a crime in the United States? My rights are being violated. My right to life is being violated. All my First Amendment rights are being violated. My right to freedom of religion is being violated. My Second Amendment rights are being violated. I never waived that right. My Fourth Amendment rights are being violated. No, really, Ryan Bundy wants to carry a gun in jail. They're still trying to get out of jail in advance of trial so that they can flee and go back and start trouble somewhere else. Ryan Bundy most lately telling the judge in the case that federal prosecutors should stay in jail as long as they're in jail. You know, I guess because the federal prosecutors, were there holding invading a bird sanctuary? Oh, those Bundys, they're so special. You know, last week was a very, very difficult week. And doesn't it take a lot of privilege for people who were not at all harmed in any of what happened last week to say that. But it was painful. It's difficult to watch your country go into convulsions. Because, among other things, it does bring on a fear of who's next, where's next. But you know what? This being prayer meeting Wednesday and all. Well, we just don't understand. You know why police are killing young black men? You know why that guy in Dallas did what he did? Murdering five police officers. Mm-hmm. You know it, of course. God. Enter Kelly Shackelford, the president of First Liberty, whatever that is. Sounds like an insurance company. Probably not.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind through all of this is just that evil will come in when there's a vacuum. And our country is moving away from God. And as it moves away from God, there's all kinds of little tussles going on over morality, because it's sort of like God's been pushed out of the field.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, back when we had lots of God, we never committed genocide against Native Americans. We never enslaved millions of people who had been kidnapped from their happy homes in Africa, because, you know, we had God.
And when that happens, I mean, you know, Satan's going to use that as his playground. And so we're seeing things like this racial tension and these other things that are almost being fomented.
Does that mean African-Americans aggrieved with mistreatment or demon-possessed? Does this have anything to do with Pokemon Go or Pokemon Go? I don't know.
You know, But I think ultimately we have to, I mean, on point of view especially, right? We have to look at this from the spiritual level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to see if our country moves more and more away from the truth. And you know, so that, I mean, it's just an extra incentive for every pastor, for every church, for every listener of point of view to reach out beyond your own cubbyhole. And people need to know the Lord, and that's the ultimate hope for turning this around and having less and less of these type of horrific things happen.
Yeah, thanks to our friends at Right Wing Watch for taking it for the team and going out and getting this stuff. How do you even say this stuff? I'm at a loss. I mean, was the police riot in Baton Rouge? Was that because we don't have enough God? I'll bet you every member of that police force swears up and down that they are believers in Christ Jesus. I mean, my God, the video of the cops going crazy in Baton Rouge at a Black Lives Matter rally, when a woman had invited the protesters to rally in her front yard, her private property. And the Baton Rouge police had a police riot and went onto her private property and demanded that the people disperse. Then, of course, when they tried to walk away and stepped onto the public sidewalk, the Baton Rouge police were waiting for them, where they arrested them. On suspicion that they were going to go and block a nearby highway. They'd been there for 90 minutes when the riot gear clad police showed up. You know, because we don't have enough God. Yeah. Then, of course, there was the fire chief in South Carolina, Captain Jimmy Morris, 16-year veteran of the Columbia, South Carolina Fire Department. He took to Facebook last Sunday night. And he wrote, "Idiot shutting down I-126. Better not be there when I get off work or there's going to be some run over dumbasses." Said 16-year fire department veteran Captain Jimmy Morris. An hour later, he went back to Facebook and he said, "Public service announcement. If you attempt to shut down an interstate, highway, etc. on my way home, you best hope I'm not one of the first vehicles in line, because your ass will get run over. Period. That is all." Now, if that had been, say, Abdul Muhammad who posted that, right-wing America would still be in sweat condition alpha over the impending ISIS attack from that ISIS Muslim who wants to run over people on the highway, because, you know, that's what ISIS does, and he's probably using that Pokemongo app to find the white people to run over. Instead, it's just an aggrieved white guy who hasn't even been slowed down in traffic. He's sitting at home being a proud keyboard warrior for white Merca. There's a happy ending. He was dismissed. The Columbia Fire Department issuing a statement saying, "We are honored and proud to live and participate in the communities we serve. Unfortunately, a member of the Columbia Fire Department has discredited the reputation of the men and women who serve this department." It was probably wise that they do so. Because, see, Captain Jimmy Morris, he works out of a fire station that is located in for the most part, a minority neighborhood. And people there were right upset. Yes. He'll probably go and get a job with some other fire department, you understand. So, my goodness gracious, that's 2 hours and 3 minutes of prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's take a wee tiny break. If you want to get in the conversation, you're welcome to do so. 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. Or 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. If you've never sent me a contact request, include a little note when you do saying the Horn or Horn FCC or something like that, so I'll know that, you know, you're not just going to immediately offer me riches beyond my wildest imagination, if only I'll share pertinent information with you that will allow you to transfer the funds into my account from your
husband, your Saudi husband's, dead Saudi husband's fabulous riches. You know the drill. Okay? Okay. All right, so we got $103 to raise in the next 55 minutes. Can we do it in celebration of Darlene's birthday and Tony and Chico's kind prayer meeting Wednesday challenge? We'll find out. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Man, I love me some atonal saxophone. 9 minutes past the hour on this prayer meeting Wednesday on The Horn. I think maybe we're mostly done with the religious insanity. One may hope. Quick follow-up in case you didn't know. This is also related to Baton Rouge. Lawsuit's been filed against the Baton Rouge Police Department by Abdullah Mulafi. Abdullah Mulafi is the guy who had surveillance video in his store and essentially put the lie to the Baton Rouge police claim that Alton Sterling had a gun in his hand as justification for why they why they summarily executed Alton Sterling. In the lawsuit, Abdullah Mulafi says that the police force, the Baton Rouge Police Department, outright stole the video. He never signed a consent to search. Officers never filed an application for a search warrant. And they came in and seized the entire store's security system, as well as taking his cell phone from him. Then they locked him inside of a patrol car for 4 hours. From the lawsuit papers, the officers would not allow Mr. Mulafi, or Mr. Muflahi, it's spelled both ways in the story, to use the restroom inside of his business establishment, and he was escorted to the side of his building and forced to relieve himself right there within arm distance of a Baton Rouge Police Department officer and in full view of the public. Named in the suit are Officer Timothy Ballard, Lieutenant Robert Cook, Police Chief Carl DeBatty, as well as Baton Rouge Police Officer Lake. They're charged in the civil suit with false arrest, false imprisonment, illegal taking and seizing of his security system, illegally commandeering his business. Somebody is apparently nervous. Oh, let's see. A little more good news out of the federal judiciary. Sister Clerk Kim Davis, you may recall, is still using her free dodgy lawyers to try to get the court to vacate the contempt holding against her. Now, the Sixth United States Circuit Court of Appeals has lifted an injunction against her as county clerk for Round County because of changes pending with the law. However, in their ruling, the three-judge panel said that the contempt finding of last September against Sister Clerk Kim Davis was not eligible to be vacated. Oops. That's some fine lawyering you got. Meanwhile, Pettifogging lawyer from Liberty Counsel, founder of Liberty Counsel, chief recipient of the profits from Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, said the injunctions are gone and Kim Davis received the accommodation that she requested. County clerks are no longer forced to compromise their religious liberty and conscience rights. But she's still a contemnor before the court. You lost, Matt, with one T. Yeah. Well, there is that. In regard to the story about Abdullah Mulafi in Baton Rouge, Texas Betsy asks, don't people get arrested for relieving themselves in view of the public? Well, yes, they do, unless I guess you're being commanded to by the Baton Rouge Police Department, who might kill your ass if you don't do as you're told. Me, I couldn't pee on command like that. No way. Wow. Hey, there's some wonderful news Thank you. Thank you to Jay Joshua in Kalamazoo. We have knocked down the entirety of the challenge, save for $3. So that means Darlene's and Tony's challenges are met, all but $3. That's magnificent news. Thank you very, very kindly. With 45 minutes to spare, thank you very, very much. And happy birthday again to Darlene. Okay, just for the remainder of the program, just doing a little wandering around, if I may. Are you familiar with what has become a kerfuffle about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg? You know, it kind of tickled me when I realized recently that she and I share a family name. Bader, Bader. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was several generations and a couple of centuries back when Johann Bader came to the United States from Germany, but come to the United States he did as a Hessian mercenary and decided he liked the revolutionary side and thought he would stay for a while. And he stayed for the rest of his life. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, I guess, in some sort, to the extent that a Supreme Court justice can get in hot water, she's in hot water. And when you consider the lunatics who occupy what used to be known as the Congress of the United States, I wouldn't be surprised to see, say, a Louis Asparagus Gohmert or a Steve Cantaloupe's King put forward an impeachment resolution against her. Why? Because Ruth Bader Ginsburg has this predilection for telling the truth. Mm-hmm. In the last week or so, on three occasions, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has told the truth about the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Granted, she hasn't called him the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, which is the ultimate truth. But she gave an interview to the New York Times and said, "I can't imagine what the country would be with Donald Trump as our president." She said that if he was to win and her husband was still alive, that he might have looked at her and said, "Well, it's time for us to move to New Zealand." Mm-hmm. And you know, how is that controversial? When you look at the hatreds and the poisons that T-Rump stirs up, how is it improper to say, "I don't know what will become of this country if he becomes president"? I mean, does anyone? I mean, unless you're a Trumpanzee, how does the idea of Donald Trump become president not simply fill you with bowel-watering dread? Not to mention fear, see also loathing. But she said that. She also said to the Associated Press, in regard to the idea of Trump being president, because apparently people have just been all a titter to ask her that question, which she answers reasonably honestly. To the Associated Press, she said, "I don't want to think about the possibility, but if it should be, then everything is up for grabs." And that's true, too. At least according to T-Rump. Social Security's up for grabs. People's access to health care, up for grabs. The fiscal health of this country, up for grabs. The very lives of people of Hispanic and Middle Eastern origin definitely up for grabs because, among other things, he says he's going to round up 11 million human beings, and you can't just fly them out one at a time. I mean, try to imagine, or 100 at a time. We're talking about 11 million people here. That means they're going to have to be rounded up and kept somewhere. CF concentration camp. So she said that. And then this past Monday, talking to CNN, she said Trump is a faker with no consistency about him. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment, he really has an ego. You got a problem with that? First of all, let's understand that short of impeachment, no one can control what a Supreme Court justice chooses to say or not to say. Let's compare, for instance, that with and you know her you know who Ruth Bader Ginsburg's best friend on the court was? Fat dead Tony Scalia. And he used to say things like, just because you're innocent doesn't mean you have a constitutional right not to be executed. From the bench, he said things like, black people are not capable of learning in elite college institutions. But lo and behold, of all the people, of all the organizations, to jump out there on the, oh my God, Bruga Bruga, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, harming the reputation of the court, Bruga Bruga. Who? Why, the New York Times editorial board. And I you know, this is kind of a back reference since we didn't have a Titanic Tuesday yesterday. This is a back reference to that. This is a nomination ex post facto of the New York Times for Titanic intellect. It is more baffling that Justice Ginsburg would choose to descend toward Trump's level and call her own commitment to impartiality into question. Washington is more than partisan enough without the spectacle of a Supreme Court justice flinging herself into the mosh pit. That mosh pit, that's one of those hip new words that the young people like to use, your mosh pit there. You know, the ones who are out playing Pokemongo. Damn. Because you know what? I understand the New York Times. I prefer a Supreme Court that sits sedately and doesn't offer any opinions, and then this country bloody by using nothing but stinking partisan politics to appoint a man to the presidency who didn't actually win the election. That's the kind of Supreme Court justices I want. How about you?
In this election cycle in particular, the potential of a new president to affect the balance of the court has taken on great importance with the vacancy left by the death of Justice Antonin Scalia. As Justice Ginsburg pointed out, other justices are nearing an age when retirement would not be surprising. That makes it vital that the court remain outside the presidential process.
Well, Aristotle's ashes just did a few more thousand rotations somewhere. No, the fact that this country is a mess, the fact that Supreme Court justices are allowed to vote. They're also allowed to have opinions about whom they're going to vote for. Come on, say it with me. A dead-eyed John Roberts is going to vote for Trump. Sammy Bad Breath Alito is going to vote for Trump. Clarence Coke Can Slappy Thomas is going to vote for Trump. Kennedy's going to vote for Trump. Wow, it's kind of gross when you consider it that way, isn't it? It's kind of gross when you consider it anyway. The New York Times breathlessly opining, could anyone now argue with a straight face that Justice Ginsburg's only guide would be the law? Yeah, I can. Because she's a damn good judge. Wait a minute. Was Sandra Day O'Connor's only guide the law when she damned near all by herself foisted George W. Dim Leader Bush on us? I mean, she's pretty much admitted that the whole thing was nothing but filthy partisan politics. Bush v. Gore. But I guess that's going to be the controversy of the controversy du jour. Now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has said the obvious, that Donald Trump is a sort of loose cannon, anything could happen, oh my God, waiting to happen to this country. Well, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has moved on from attacking the heritage of a federal judge in Indiana to attacking Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And where did he do it? Well, of course, on Trump. Or on Twitter, rather. On Trump. Well, Trumper. Can we split the difference? On Twitter. He said, embarrassed all by making very dumb political statements about me. Her mind is shot. Resign. So now Trump says that, Ginsburg's politicized the Supreme Court. He went on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, you know, that fair and balanced network headed by Roger Ailes. More on him in a minute. Ew. And said, I'm questioning her mental capacity. For her to have done that is an absolute disgrace to the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Paul Ryan was invited to come over and fulminate and bloviate on Chicken Noodle News yesterday. He said, for someone on the Supreme Court who is going to be calling balls and strikes in the future based upon whatever the next president or Congress does, that strikes me. See what he did there? Balls and strikes. That strikes me as inherently biased and out of the realm. Really? But it wasn't inherently biased and out of the realm when Dick Cheney and fat, now dead Tony Scalia went duck hunting together, now was it? Yeah. Watch this space. I mentioned Roger Ailes. Sleazy, skeevy, nasty Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes, who kind of makes us wonder if maybe he wrote the original script for Bill O'Reilly's falafel call. Yeah, it only gets nastier. Hey, thanks to David and Carl. We are done with fundraising. Thank you very kindly, both of you. We wound up $3 to the good. So both Tony and Tony's Chico Challenge and Darlene's Happy Birthday Challenge have been met. Thank you both very kindly. Now, Roger Ailes is gross. Roger Ailes is disgusting. But we knew that before we found out that he was a serial sexual harasser, according to suit papers filed. According to New York Magazine and an article by Gabriel Sherman, there are at least three former Fox News anchors who claim that they've been sexually harassed by Roger Ailes. Emphasis on the word former. Mm-hmm. And yet he's going to keep his job, just like Bill O'Reilly kept his job. Rupert Murdoch's not going to do anything to him. But in this report at New York Magazine by Gabriel Sherman, you will find the following. One former rising star at the network has said that Ailes approached her, get the hockey puck, not so much for the screaming, but just to back up the gag reflex and kind of cut down on the, maybe take the duct tape and strap your arms to the chair just to keep you from, sort of vibrating through the floor. One former rising star at the network has said that Ailes approached her during a barbecue at Fox & Friends host Steve Doocy's house in New Jersey while she was... first of all, the idea of going to a barbecue at Steve Doocy's house. Can you imagine him standing there with the apron on that says, "Kiss the cook"? Yeah, it just got worse, didn't it? Yeah, it did. So, over to Steve Doocy's house, they're having a barbecue. And this former rising star at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda was bouncing on a trampoline with some children. Oh, this is so gross! When oily, greasy, Baron Vladimir Harkonnen floating around in his helium suit, Roger Ailes sidles over to the trampoline and looks at her and says,
"Are you wearing any panties? I wish you weren't."
Oh! See what happens when you don't straight.
"You wearing any panties? Sure do you got a pretty mouth." Ding, 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 ding.
Panties too, panties too.
Breaking news, subject line coming in from Ray in Florida. "Can't stop the chop, El Chapo escapes again." I don't think that's got anything to do with Roger Ailes. Yeah, I know. I know the ew is sort of overtaking things. That's really just super duper disgusting. "Help me, Obi-Wan Jules. You're my only hope."
Yeah, I don't know about hope, but boy, that is ooh. That is so ooh. I don't know how to describe ooh besides that. Oh, cold. It's horrible.
No, I mean, you've got to go full SNL on it.
Whoa, ho. That is like going on, that's like going into a pig farm and lathering yourself up with shit. I'm telling you, you're going to go out and roll in the shit.
I'm a guy. I've run around with some real horn dogs, especially, back in college at the bars of last resort and things like that. And I've heard, you know, are you Natasha, my secret contact? All kinds of pickup lines. Not that one. I mean, yeah. What's next? If she says, "Well, yeah," I go, "Can I sniff them?"
Yeah, no. I'd eat the corn out of your sheet.
Oh no!
There you go. How's that one for you?
Did it hurt? Did what hurt? When you fell from heaven into my life.
There you go.
Scott in San Diego says, there's not enough eye, ear, or mind wash in the world to rid me of the image of Ailes and his "Are you wearing panties?" moment.
Poor no.
Punky. Poor Punky.
Poor Punky.
Punky,
yes,
understands
poor Punky.
English.
Yes, poor Punky.
Punky's probably pulling his own feathers out right now. there was spontaneous molting that started.
Yes. I'm glad I have headsets on to keep my poor innocent girls from having to hurt.
The thing is, it's a trampoline. Do you remember years ago, what was it called? The Man Show that ended every night with footage of just gratuitous footage of girls on trampolines?
Yes, I think it was. I do believe it was. Yes.
I think we know what Roger Ailes was watching.
Ooh, yeah. Bouncing booties. Bouncing boobies.
Oh. But. Please, God. Okay. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. We don't often pray, Jules, but join me in prayer, please.
Yes. Well, please. Brother Bob, got to do some praying now.
Please, sweet baby Jesus, please let this case go to trial. Please let this all be adduced in open testimony and turned into court transcripts. Please, sweet baby Jesus, I don't ask much, but this would be really nice. Thank you. Thank you, sweet baby Jesus.
Brother Bob, yes. Brother Bob, preach, brother.
Meanwhile, Robert in Australia, guys, please, I'm having morning tea. I am not responsible for the international damn dateline, Robert. I mean,
we can't help it. No, it's not our fault. Truly,
but there's more to it. There's more to it. It gets worse.
Oh, yeah, it does. It truly does.
Because another woman who recently took exit from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said that he made him turn around for her and quote unquote show him her figure.
Yes.
I wonder how many times Roger Ailes asked Bill O'Reilly to do that, or Steve Doocy.
Oh, no doubt.
Or Shepard Smith, or well, he might like it. Sean Hannity, might like it. Well, dear God.
Well, Shepard, you know, would probably have done a little bit of prance there, but
not for Roger Ailes.
Well, no, but.
I mean,
he well,
Geraldo.
Know.
No, there's the one. Hey, Hey, Geraldo, you wearing panties? I hope not. No, really, I hope not.
Geraldo would prance for anyone. He's narcissistic enough, I think, that he would prance for anyone.
Jesus Christ, Jules. And it gets worse. Apparently, there's a history.
I remember when
Mr. Stress, Bill Miller, would tell the story of having worked once for Roger Ailes and done a music track for him. Yeah, he cut a music track for him for something back in the day. But way back in the 1960s, a woman who is now 67 years old and it was a model and worked on the Dennis Hooley show. When she was 19 years old, said Ailes asked her to lift up her skirt and lie face down on a bed at the Sheraton Gibson Hotel in Cincinnati.
Ooh. I have a feeling this goes a little further.
And immediately I read that, and the first thing I thought of were the lines of the baby, if you ever wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Never mind. But I just thought, oh my God, Roger.
This is WKRP.
Exactly. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking. Up and down, round and round the dial. No, no more singing, I swear, I promise.
If I knew the rest of it, I'd do the rest of it. I don't know the rest of it, so sorry.
Maybe you and me were never meant to be.
To be.
Think about me, baby, once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Oh my God, why do I know that? Why do I know that and I can't work out the quadratic equation? Why?
I don't know. I just know that we're at WKRP in Cincinnati. That's about all I know, so. Okay. And back to Roger Ailes and face down on the bed with the bottom up.
Which, of course, calls to mind a Frank Zappa lyric. She was buttons up kneeling. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
That's from Dynamo Hum. I'm going to have to... the Wiggling Pig closes at 9 o'clock. I'm going to have to go to Dollar General for the cheap bleach.
Oh, dear. Yep. Yeah, you're not going to get these images out of your brain very fast, I'll tell you that for sure.
I mean, the whole... 60. I mean, that's something out of an episode of Mad Men, isn't it, Jules?
Oh yes, it is. It sure as hell is. I'll tell you.
okay. I don't feel so bad now. Jack mm-hmm. in Shreveport just said, subject line: Ailes. Great. When you mentioned the Man Show, I thought of Adam Carolla, who is a total right wing a hole. Thanks, Obama. P.S. I know the WKRP theme too. Good. I'm probably going to get hate mail over that segment there with the singing and that. You know.
Well, you know, you get that song stuck in people's heads, and that's what's going to get you the hate mail.
Well, what did I do to? What I earwormed Ferg earlier today. What was it? I know what it was. Manamana. Yeah, I was taking him to work and he said, "Oh, great, that's going to be stuck in my head all day," because that little Muppets ditty will get stuck. It's brutal. It won't. It doesn't leave for days. But I've got a apparently. Never mind all those women who are saying that Roger Ailes was crummy to them. Neil Cavuto of Fox Business News.
Oh, yes.
Has chimed in. He said, "Well, I've never seen it. I've never witnessed it. Not even hints of it. I've known Ailes for about a quarter century, so I think I'm a pretty good judge of character. All this stuff I've been reading about Roger's, a lot of clutter and a lot of nonsense. None of it remotely matches the man I've come to know over these last decades. Roger was and is all professional. These accusations that don't remotely resemble the Roger that I know, that we know, are just sick." Well, but see, here's the thing, Neil, buddy. You're not female. And he's not gay, Roger.
Yeah, I mean, he's all the wrong sex. I mean, for Christ's sakes. He's not going to see it. He's not... Yeah. I mean, why would Roger Ailes want to harass him for? He don't got no pretty legs.
Let's see. Geraldo, meanwhile, said, "I've known him 40 years. He's about as flirty as the grizzly in The Revenant. I stand with Roger Ailes."
Well, he sure don't have no boobs either, does he? I don't think he has. He doesn't have a nice ass either.
You know, that's the nice thing about having you here, Jules. You can say things like that, and I can't.
Yeah, I can say those things.
He don't got no boobs. Yeah.
Well, he does. He just doesn't have any that are appropriately placed and jutting out.
Okay, from the Department of it's gonna we're gonna need a lot more brain bleach now, from Bob in Texas. Subject line, Guy's Night Out.
Imagine a picture a wild night out on the town with Bill Cosby and Roger Ailes on the loose. I mean, talk about hide your children, hide your wife.
Oh, dear, yes.
Meanwhile, Clarence just wrote in, subject line, Roger the Trick. He was the honcho who managed the bullhorn about Bill Clinton. Your goddess of irony shows up again.
Oh, wow, yes.
Yeah, not my goddess of irony, our goddess of irony. Yes. Trampoline.
Jumpity jump, jump, jump.
Meanwhile, Marty asks, aren't all those defending Roger Ailes also under contract? Well, there is that.
Bouncity bounce, bounce, bounce.
Trampolines.
Yes. Visuals. Tight little t-shirts, you know, tank tops, little...
No, stop that. You're being...
Some shorts.
No, you're being prurient now. Let's get one thing straight here. He only asked her that because she was not wearing pants. She was wearing some sort of little skirt or some sort of little pretty little dress.
Yeah.
And hence, you wearing panties under there? I hope you're not.
Well, I'm not going to tell you whether I am or not, goddammit.
And I wonder who the departed, who the rising stars were. We know it wasn't Elizabeth Hasselbeck or Elizabeth Hasselbeck, as she's been referred to around here. Ainsley Earhart isn't.
Well, of course not.
Of course, she's still under contract.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck said, speaking from my personal experience, working for Roger Ailes and with Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade was by far the most rewarding time in my 16-year broadcasting career because Roger, Steve, and Brian consistently treated me with overwhelming respect and pure-hearted kindness, for which I am forever thankful. So check it out. Do you remember when we got kind of wrought when Madeleine Albright declared that there was a special place in hell for any woman who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton?
Oh, hell yes. Oh, boy, do I remember that with vitriol.
Well, what does it say about, is this some kind of Stockholm syndrome, or is it simply contractual politics? When Elizabeth Hasselbeck comes to the rescue of a just a nasty, skeevy, a photograph. I mean, you know who I was talking about when I said Baron Harkonnen floating around in his helium suit, right?
Oh yeah.
Dune?
Yeah. Of course.
Is it surprising? If you're a right-wing female, you feel no sense of sorority, sisterhood?
Well, no.
With another woman who has been sexually abused?
It's contractual. I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if she has gone through this, she's not going to break her contract. She's going to do all the sucking up that she can. I mean, she's making six figures, yeah, high six figures, you know. I mean, maybe seven figures. Yeah, fuck, she's not going to go against that. She's not going to lose that money.
But Hasselbeck isn't even there anymore.
Contractual.
No, but she's not contractually obligated to Fox anymore.
She probably has some sort of non-disclosure something somewhere.
I guess it's too much to speculate upon. But, you know, it's going to be a long time before that. I mean, I may have to go and find the Deliverance clip. For anything. Panties, too. Anytime that we mention Roger Ailes.
Oh, did you? Now, completely separate topic.
Okay.
Did you hear about the two sheriff's deputies in North Carolina, who are all incensed because they said that somebody at Zaxby's Fried Chicken was mean to them?
Oh, no, I don't believe I did.
So one of the deputy's wife posted something to Facebook, of course.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
She said, I have pretty much kept my mouth shut publicly about the status of our country these days, but enough is enough. It is tough enough to watch my husband put on his uniform and go out in the world full of hate towards cops, all while I sit home and worry if he will return home safely. But today just put the icing on the cake. And so it turns out that the two deputies in full uniform walked into Zaxby's Chicken. It's a chicken chain. And
sounds like it must be.
And ordered up some chicken. And the woman wrote, as they walked up to place their orders, the boys in the back cooking the food. Notice the boys in the back cooking the food. Boys.
By that she don't mean they was 12 year old.
The boys back cooking the food started yelling at them and calling them names. Being the professional deputies that they are, neither of them replied to the rude comments or acknowledged it. Then as they sat down to eat their food, my husband realized that the boys had put the hottest sauce possible on his wings to the point where his food wasn't even fit to eat. Well, excuse me? The hottest sauce possible, the hottest thing in that store at that time was in the pepper spray that that deputy there was carrying, one. Two, it's not unfit to eat because obviously they have it in the store and people order it on their wings. And three, really, that's what we're crying about.
Yeah, apparently that's what she just chose to cry about, and you know, white privilege, because she has the right to piss and moan about a little bit of something to piss and moan about. By God, that's what
I never know when he leaves home if he's going to come home alive or if he's going to be burnt to death by some chicken wings that's too hot for his delicate taste buds.
It was just the icing
on the cake. The really hot, spicy capsaicin habanero icing on the cake.
So now there's like some sort of anti-Zaxby's backlash. Never mind the fact that nowhere in this story does anybody pay attention to the fact that she referred to the people working in the back as boys. Boy?
Yeah. No.
Did I mention that this was North Carolina?
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah. HB2, home of the HB2.
Yep. And I'm sure she's really concerned about who's going to be in the potty there at Zaxby's, too. They probably, you know what, one of them transgenders is probably going to go into the potty now and paint the toilet seat with hot sauce that's so hot you can't sit on it.
Yeah, they're going to fuck around with that, too. You know how this goes, Bob.
Oh, okay, going back to Elizabeth Hasselbeck for a minute.
Okay.
Martha in Florida with a piercing observation. If I were Hasselbeck, if I were Hasselbeck, Martha says, I wouldn't be bragging about how well that pig treated her. That means she wasn't even attractive enough to a sexually harassing pervert. Ooh. I'll note that's Martha, not Bob. Martha said that.
Martha, hello. If it's the Martha, I think that it is, she's been missed.
Yeah, Martha has been in the chat room from time to time as well. Yes,
she has been missed. So.
Well, as I understand it, she has a lot on her plate.
Yes, I know she does.
Oh, thank you, Sparky. Sparky went and found it for me. Hot damn.
Well, squeal, squeal.
And Sparky found it, did he?
Yeah, squeal like a pig.
Well, good job. Thank you, Sparky.
Sparky does amazing things in a short amount of time. It truly.
Yes, he does.
Well, Jules, thank you for riding down the last half hour of the program with me. It certainly was fun. How did you like the 6 o'clock slot last night?
Well, you know what? We were played on one of my shows, and we just kind of chatted through the chatted through the hour. So it worked out pretty good. We had a really good show yesterday, actually, considering all in all that happened. And today was my 7th show. So in 7 days, we turned out the lights.
Wow.
No, not really. But it's going really good. So
Cool. And the regular live hours of the program are?
10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time.
At FYINation.com.
Yes, it is. And it's Morning Jules.
And tomorrow, since we were just had way too much material to deal with this evening, tomorrow, perhaps for Thorn in the Side Thursday, we'll go over fun with blasting with the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. Yes. Blasting and you. Blasting can be fun.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I could read all 4 pages, and maybe then we'll have a quiz on what's not in the WVDEP blasting advisory paper.
Oh, that sounds
and there's Barkway in the chat room now.
Very good. Hey, Barkway. Yeah, tomorrow, actually, Jeffrey, who is in Holland right now, who is one of your listeners and one of Mike Mulway's listeners, and who has visited FYI Nation now, is going to be with us. He's in Holland, and we're going to talk about the differences between socialistic countries and America.
Oh, you mean the difference between civilization and America?
Yes.
Ah, how fun. Well, Jules, I got a roll here. Thanks again. Have yourself a lovely evening.
Excellent. You too, I hope.
All right. Bye now.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Jules from FYINation.com, Morning Jules, 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, FYINation.com. And thanks again to everyone for responding to Darlene's birthday challenge and to Tony's Chico challenge. We are out of the hole. And so we've just got our regular fundraising goal remaining for Thursday and Friday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There will be a frenzy, well, not a frenzy, but there's going to be bills paid and hopefully continuing to be paid through the week. Thank you indeed very, very, very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky, and this evening, Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you very kindly to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.